And in this world, and we lift up that name that's above every name. There's power, there's healing, there's miracles, there's signs, there's wonders. There's mighty power and authority and dominion in that name, Jesus. We wear that name upon us, O God. We've taken on that name in the name of Jesus. We are the children of the Most High God. We are your kings and your priests, O God. We have that authority dwelling in us, O God. Let us speak with authority right now. Lord, as we lift up and glorify and magnify your mighty name, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah to your name. We want you to know that we offer you up the highest praise that we can give you right now. I offer you the highest praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Great and glorious and mighty. We thank you for your mighty hand and your outstretched arm in our life. We thank you, Lord, that you brought us here, Lord, clothed and in our right mind, O God, with holy hands lifted up without wrath and doubting today, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for keeping us today, for saving us today, Lord Jesus, for delivering us today. We don't know what you've kept us from, O God. We don't know, O God, the things, O God, that may have occurred in our life today, but you were there, Lord Jesus, keeping your angels encamped around about them that fear you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we fear and we honor and reverence your mighty name. We reverence your mighty name, Jesus. You are worthy and you are mighty, Lord Jesus. Holy and magnificent and glorious God. Oh, no, no, Most High, there's no God like my God today. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. This is not just a religious experience that we have, O God. We've got the power and authority and dominion of Almighty God dwelling on the inside of us. Lord, you've given us power over all that the enemy can do and will try to do, Lord Jesus. No weapon formed against us today or ever shall prosper, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. If we could just clap our hands and love him right now, Lord Jesus. We love you, 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 Jesus. You're holy and you're worthy and you're mighty and you're righteous. You're deserving of our praise. You're deserving of all the glory. You're deserving of all the honor, Lord Jesus. Have your way, have your way, have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. How many wants him to have his way tonight? Amen. I want him to have his way in me. Not just tonight. I want him to have his way in me tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And I don't ever want to take that back. Amen. Amen. Pastor asked me to put this out that the door back here was found unlocked. So when we're cleaning the church or whatever we're doing, let's make sure we lock, make sure all the doors are locked. Amen. The Lord kept his angel around that door so nobody get in. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that, but that's not hyperbole. I mean that. Amen. And so... Amen. But we need to be responsible and do what we need to do. Amen. Enough said, right? Hallelujah. Psalms 12, verse 6. This is not my message, but I just felt impressed to read this before I get started here tonight. It says this. Psalms 12, verse 6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words." They're holy words. They're his words. It's the same words that he used to speak this world into existence. It's those same words that we listen to every time we hear anybody preach this gospel. Same words. "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Amen. His word is the same. That same word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't change with culture. It doesn't change with society. Hallelujah. It doesn't change. The principles don't change. God has never, that I've been able to find, said, well, you know, it's 2024. Maybe I need to change a few things. Nope. Not happening. It's the same word. Same word had the same power, same authority that it did on the day of Pentecost. Is the same word. When Peter preached that on the day of Pentecost, it's the same word. Same God, same Spirit, same power. Amen? We need to understand that. All the I's and these and us and thes and everything else in this word were not just stuck in there as extra words. They're there. Every word in this book is there for a reason. The Holy Ghost spoke these things to men that wrote them down, and these things were put there for a reason, not to be taken out. If I can justify tearing one page out of this Bible, or even half of a page, I can might as well just throw it in the bin and just set a fire to it. But everything in this book, I need it. Everything in this book was put here for us. Amen? Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? Jesus' name. To the book of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I'll give you a few minutes to get there. Hallelujah. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I love technology. I love the fact that I can have my Bible on all these devices, because there's places I might not be able to walk in with this, but I can sure walk into it with this or this. Right? His word's going to go everywhere he needs it to go. Amen. You go online and you type the word Bible in Google. You're going to find about 15 or 20 different online Bibles. You can just go for days. And concordances and everything else. No more hauling a big satchel around full of books. You can have it all right there on your iPad. Isn't God good? Amen. I'm thankful I'm in this generation. Hallelujah. I'm thankful. I'm not saying we don't need this. I'm keeping this, because when this stuff doesn't work anymore, I still got this. But in addition to that, I'm not just memorizing it, but I'm hiding this in here. I'm making it real to me. Right? I'm not just buying a tube of bacitracin and laying it next to my wound. I'm opening the lid on it, and I'm putting some on there. Because the medicine doesn't do any good if you don't take it, if you don't use it. Amen. We got to apply this word. And it applies to everybody, whether they want to hear it or not. And there's going to be some that don't want to hear it. But I got news for those people. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. No way around that. There's no but there. There's no except for there. No exceptions. Whether you like it or not, whether you want to or not, your knee's going to bow. So I just don't know about you, but I just want to have a say in that, don't you? I want to be willing. I want to be, you don't have to ask. I'm already there, God. My knees are already there. Amen? All right, let's get into this. John 15, verse 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the owner. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. See, they didn't have a written word back in the day. They had the Old Testament scrolls, but nobody could read that. So it was whatever Jesus said. Right? Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We can't do anything spiritual, of a spiritual nature, without being abiding in him. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Anybody see a correlation there to something else? Think he's trying to send a message? Because hell's going to be a hot place. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Father, thank you for this day. For your people today, Lord, give them ears to hear, eyes to see, Lord, and their minds to understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody know what that is? It's a tomato plant. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that what you were going to say? No. It's a tomato plant. I was going to get a bigger one, but that's all you can get right now. Because we're in Wisconsin. They're probably 3 feet tall in Kentucky. So we're reading in this scripture. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, I know this isn't a vine. There are vine tomatoes. I did learn that. I didn't know that. There's bush tomatoes and vine tomatoes. I didn't know that. But for the sake of this object lesson, we're going to call this a vine, okay? And so, any gardeners out there? Anybody like to garden, like to grow some maters, right? So if I started just breaking off branches on this thing, some of y'all would be like, ah! Right? It's a baby. You don't. So why would that bother you? Once I break that branch off, what good is it? We were just reading about that. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. I break that off and lay it next to the plant. It's not going to get any nourishment. It's going to lay next to that live plant and die and wither up and turn brown and get hard and crackly, and it's going to be good for nothing but fuel. So we're going to talk tonight about being a fruitful branch. How many wants to be a fruitful branch? Amen. I do. That word abide in the Complete Word Study Bible Dictionary says this: of the relation in which one person or thing stands with another, chiefly in John's writings. Thus, to remain in or with someone, i.e., to be and remain united with him, one with him in heart, mind, and will. As long as that little branch right there stays connected to this vine right here, because the vine's in the dirt, and the dirt has all the nutrients, and the dirt has everything that this thing needs to grow besides the sunlight and the water, it gets the rest of these branches and leaves get all their nourishment from down underneath. As long as that branch stays connected to the vine. Simple, right? Am I right? Back there, sister? Am I right? If I break that off, it's not going to live, is it? Nope. So as branches connected to the vine, which we are, everybody connected to the vine tonight? We are expected to bear fruit. says so right here. We just read it. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So that there's never going to be a tomato on the end of that branch if I break it off. But if I leave it there connected to the vine, and I plant this in my yard, which I'm going to do, I'm going to put it in a bucket, put it on my deck, and by July I'm going to have tomatoes off this plant. Getting more, I just got one for tonight. Right? If I do everything right, if I put it in the right kind of soil and take care of it, it's going to grow tomatoes. And he expects us to bear fruit as a fruitful branch. And it's according to what level the Lord deems for each individual. Because if you read that, he never says what the fruit is. Is that just me? Or he just says bear fruit. Never says what that fruit is. Now, we can make a lot of assumptions of what that fruit is, and we could talk about the fruit of the Spirit. That's fruit. I want to bear that kind of fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, patience. Against such there is no law. I want to bear that kind of fruit. But there's other kind of fruit that the Father wants me to bear. Him being the vine, me being the branch. So do I have a guarantee that every one of these branches and future branches that are going to come up as this thing grows are all going to grow tomatoes? No guarantee, right? Some of them might not. Then what do I do? Now, when I was a kid, we had tomatoes in a garden and stuff like that. And I remember my dad telling me, you got to go out and pull those suckers off the tomato plant in between the branches right there. You got to do some pruning. And any good gardener knows if you've got a plant, if you got a branch on a plant that's not producing fruit, what are you going to do? You're going to remove that thing. You got to prune that plant. Every year in the springtime, what do? They go and cut back all the stuff that died over the winter. And what comes out of the ground if it's some kind of an annual? Right? Here come those hostas again. Here comes whatever. Right? But there's got to be some pruning. It's going to look ugly for a little while. I remember being at one of the chapels in Okinawa, and it was like, you know, they have winter there, believe it or not, and some of the plants die, and some of the little flowers along the sidewalk, and springtime was coming, and so somebody had gone out there with something and just whacked those things down to about that far off the ground, and it was ugly. Just looked like a bunch of dead stems sticking out of the ground, because that's what it was. But what I didn't know was that in about 3 weeks, there was going to be all kinds of new growth and flowers and all. And a couple of weeks later, that's exactly what was there. So there's got to be some pruning. That's why he talked about in here about, if you abide not in me, then he's going to cut you off and cast you into the oven. So as the people of God connected to the vine, is it possible that there are people connected to the vine that won't bear fruit? There absolutely, absolutely that could be. Because he's trying to draw a parallel here to us, his followers, his disciples. The Father's watching. He's keeping an eye on the vine. He owns the vine, and he's watching the branches. And as a good husbandman, he's not going to just leave an unfruitful branch on that vine. He's going to come and cut it off. Romans 11:16-18 says, "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Makes sense, right? And if some of the branches are broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, the ones that were cut off. Don't get all braggadocious about it and say, look at me and look at them. I'm on the tree and they're not. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root bears thee. So these little branches on this tomato plant don't tell the main stalk what to do, do they? It all started with one little stalk sticking out, and that guy's the boss for the rest of the life of this plant. He's the one that sends all the life-giving things up into the branches so that tomato flowers pop out and then little tomatoes pop out. Those little branches don't tell the plant what to do. They don't boast that of who they are. So as the branch, I plant this in my yard and it pours down rain and the wind blows and maybe it even hails or something. That little plant is subject to all of that. Now, I could go out there and shield it, but 9 times out of 10, we don't. All that corn they plant in these rows, they don't go out there and try to cover it all up if a hailstorm comes. It's just out there. It's in the elements. It's subject to whatever comes its way. Whatever the Father sends our way as a fruitful branch is what we got to put up with. We got to tolerate that. But sometimes there needs to be wind. And there needs to be rain. And there needs to be things happen that we might not like the wind, but sometimes the wind is necessary because there's pollination going on. And there's things that the wind does that if without the wind, nothing would happen. That plant wouldn't grow any fruit at all. So we as the branch are subject to whatever comes our way. And there's going to be things that are going to come our way. Storms, wind, drought, disease. But you know what? The vine is right there with us through all of that. The Father's there with us. He's just like Jesus in the boat. He's there with them in the midst of the storm. He's not going to make us go through this stuff by ourselves. And sometimes it's going to feel like we are going through things by ourselves. Like, God, where are you? You haven't, you know, anybody in here besides me ever get to the place sometimes where you don't hear from God? Like he's silent? And you start thinking maybe he's not there. But he's there. He's there with you. So the storms, the trials, the tests, the persecutions, all of this that we are to suffer according to his plan, purpose, and will. It's there for our good. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so what are all things? This is deep revelation. All things. Everything that he allows to happen in your life is there for a reason. I don't know about you, but I don't want the Lord to just leave me alone. And some people, I hate to say it, but some people, they just get saved and then they just want the Lord to leave them alone, let them do their thing. And you know what? He will. He'll oblige you. He'll let you go do your own thing. And to me, that's like saying, Father, I don't want to be connected to you. They do this plumbing now with this PEX pipe. was watching the guy put a shower in my house, and it's got quick connectors on it. You don't even have to use solder or heat or anything. You just go click and boom, it's there. No leaks. I love it. But this is not a quick connect relationship here. We can't disconnect and reconnect whenever we feel like it. Once that branch comes out of that plant, that it's there. The minute it's not connected to the vine, it's going to die. Am I making my point? I mean, come on. Jesus was turned on by his own family, his own followers, his own people. He was turned on. And he was denied by the very people that he spent 3 years teaching and ministering to and preparing to be the church. And how can we expect to experience anything less than what he went through? Doesn't the Bible say that in the last days that perilous times are going to come? Doesn't it say that the mother-in-laws are going to turn against the daughter-in-laws and the fathers against the sons and sons against, and all that stuff's going to happen? People potentially in this room will turn on people in this room. Because I'm telling you right now, there's going to come a time where you are going to be, you know, we talked about that Fox's Book of Martyrs. There's one story in there about a guy that's on the rack, and he's getting stretched beyond measure, and he finally recants, and they let him go. And the minute he gets off that rack, he takes about 3 steps and falls over and dies right there. And the little girl, 16-year-old girl sitting there said, she said something out loud like, "I can't believe you just did that." And they turned to her and said, "Oh, are you one of them?" She said, "Yep, I am." And I think they didn't even put her on the rack. They just took her out right there. And we try to imagine in our mind that stuff like that ain't going to happen. But look at the New Testament church. They were persecuted by the very religious people that Jesus came to love and to win. There might be a Paul or a Saul out there somewhere, but by and large, there's coming a day where we are going to be treated like dirt. And somebody's going to get up in your business and want to know if you are going to recant your beliefs. Are you going to let yourself be broken off of the vine? Mark 11:12-14 and verses 19-22. "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, and if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet." The time of tomatoes is not yet. It's going to be a while before this plant sees tomatoes, right? Makes sense, right? "And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit off thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it." And in the next scripture, they go into the city and Jesus goes into the temple. And he takes a scourge and he kicks all those thieves and people out of the temple that were selling doves and all that stuff. Just said that and just walked away. And the disciples heard it. And that's all it says. And then he goes into, and then after he's done there, it says in verse 19, "And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus, answering him, saith unto them, Have faith in God." And he just leaves it right there. Well, wait a minute. What is he saying? Have faith in God. What kind of answer is that? Hey, Jesus, look, there's that tree that you cursed, and now it's dead, withered up from the roots in one version of the one in one book of the Bible it says. And all he says to them is have faith in God. And what I think he was saying was, don't you worry about the things that I do. Don't you worry about if I speak to a plant and tell it, you're dead. You're not coming back. Have faith in God. Sometimes that's one of the hardest things for us to do, is to just have faith in God. When he comes to us and tells us he wants us to go do something or go say something to somebody, we get all tightened up and we get all nervous and, oh man, can't you go call somebody else to do that? I don't want to go over there and do that. Or he lets some trial come in our life. Woe is me. That's where we go right away. What have I done to deserve this, God? Go read Job. Okay? Go read about Joseph, who got thrown in the dungeon for 12 years for doing nothing except being faithful. Joseph was a faithful branch, and look what happened to him. But he had to go through that, because God was preparing him for something even greater than he could have ever imagined. God was fixing to show him an explanation, if you will, of all the reasons he had all those dreams. God doesn't do anything by accident. Nothing. And this is what I believe. You can believe what you want, but I believe everything that goes on in my life is a test. Everything's a test. Everything's a test. To see how I'm going to respond. To see how much I really love him. How much I really, really trust him. Because if I'm in a relationship with that lady back there, it's a relationship of it's a mutual trust, isn't it? I got to be able to trust her, and she's got to be able to trust me. I got to be able to trust my God, and he's got to be able to trust that I'm going to stand the test. Because the tests are coming. The stuff we're going through now is nothing. Nothing compared to what's going to happen. But when the church was persecuted in the book of Acts, what happened? It grew by leaps and by bounds. We have churches in foreign countries that I'm not going to name, and they don't know, not one of them owns a building. They probably don't have a keyboard. They probably don't have a sound system, but they are one of the largest parts of the body of Christ in the world right now, and they are one of the most persecuted nations on this earth. And the more they persecute them, the more they try to do away with them, the more they grow. You think they get it after a while, right? Stop persecuting them. It's just making them grow. It's like stomping on a gas fire. It just sends some more gas that way, and there goes the fire that way and that way. You ain't stomping a gas fire out. It's just going to spread. If the fruit and the branch belongs to God, which is the thing designed to bear the fruit, the branch, that's us, right? Doesn't it kind of make sense that God has his own prerogative to do with the tree, the fruit, the branch, as he will? He didn't ask you to ask for a specific explanation of how exactly is it you want me to bear fruit, God. Come on, give me an explanation here. No, you don't get to have a say. You just get to be a faithful branch. That's all you get to do. This scenario that where Jesus said, just have faith in God, didn't just happen. It wasn't just stuck in there. It was there for a reason. Because where we're living at right now is a very small part of a much bigger plan that you, if you could see the whole plan, it would blow your mind. It would blow your mind. If God let us see everything, we would turn and run the other way. He just wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to be a faithful branch. And He wants us to bear fruit. He doesn't want to have to cut us off of the vine. And bearing fruit, that little branch right there, it's submitted to the vine. It's subject to whatever the vine sends it. But as long as it's connected, as long as it stays connected, it's all good. We got to stay connected. It's well within the realm of possibility that God has built into His plan for each one of us to go through certain things. How many believe that? He's not making this stuff up as He goes. Let's see what I can do now to Pastor Becker. Let's see how I can make him squirm tomorrow. That's not how He does it. It's all a part of a big plan. It's all, and we just got to find our place in the plan and get there and just be faithful. Right after we came up here, I kept asking God. I'd be driving to work. I'd be asking all kinds of questions and talking to God. And every time He would say to me these words, three words, just be faithful. That's all He'd say. And then a couple months would go by, and I'd find myself saying, you'd think we'd get it after a while. And I'd find myself almost praying the same prayer, and He'd say the same exact thing. Just be faithful. So after about the third time, I said, okay, I'm not asking that question anymore. I'm done. I get it. Okay? Sometimes I'm hard as a rock. I got it. You got to tell me three times. But I get it. Just be faithful. And so that's what I purpose to do, whatever that means. He didn't explain what that meant. He just said, be faithful. So I got to go through my walk with God and determine what exactly that means from day to day. Okay, God, it's today. It's Wednesday, the 8th of May. What do you need me to do today? How do you need me to be faithful today? Help me to hear your voice. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's talking about being connected to the vine. Just connect yourself to the vine and just wait for Him to give you the next set of instructions. I heard Mark Morgan preach one time, and he said, whatever God, the last thing He told you to do, if it was stand still, you still need to be standing there now until He tells you to do something else. You don't get to move. If He told you to stand still until He gives you the next command. And that's hard for us human beings. We don't like waiting. Come on. I got to get my Starbucks. Come on, lady. Get that. Come on. Anybody ever done that? In the drive? Yeah. We'll have an altar call after this. Hallelujah. I want to stay connected to the vine. I want to stay in the middle of the process that God has me going through for me. Because it's personal. He wants to have a personal relationship with every single individual in this room. Before He formed you in the womb, He knew you. He knew you, Sister Becker. He knew you. He already had a plan for your whole life, beginning to end. He knows the day of our death and the day of our birth. And everything in between there. The dash, as they call it. The dash between the day of your birth and the day of your death on your stone. Never mind. Matthew 13:18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word, everybody say heareth, the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. So the guy that received seed by the wayside heard the word. He heard it. Didn't say he didn't hear it. He was there. He heard it. Whatever kind of ground he was in, he heard it. Got it? But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that, what does it say? Heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while? For when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, tough place. This is where some of us are going to be. When the rubber meets the road, when things start hitting the fan, this is where God's going to have some of us right here. We're going to be in a place of decision of what we're going to say and what we're going to do. Because of the word, by and by, he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. Every one of these people heard the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choked out the word, and he became, what's that word? Unfruitful. He had it, and he let it go. He became unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into good ground, am I responsible for my own ground? If I plant a garden in my yard, who's responsible for keeping the weeds out of it? Me. If I hire a guy to do it, he's responsible, right? But if that guy don't show up, I got to get out there because that's my garden. I got to get the weeds out of it. I got to keep the ground tilled up around my plants. It's my responsibility what kind of soil I got. And I might have started out with good soil. But if I'm not careful, if I'm not walking close to God every day, some stones and some other cares of this life can come in and start getting back in my ground if I'm not careful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. So it behooves us. First, you got to understand that you are a branch, not the vine. You're just connected to the source that gives you life and breath and health and peace and joy and all those things that you need in your life on this earth. For without him, we can do nothing, right? We read that. I just want to bear fruit. To whatever extent that is, the amount of fruit he's expecting me to bear is not going to be the same amount of fruit that he's expecting you to bear. But it doesn't matter. We're not wise if we compare ourselves among ourselves, right? So don't worry about what somebody else's fruit is. You worry about if you're bearing fruit or not. Because I want to please my Father. I'm not here to please men. I'm not here to look good in front of you. I like all of you. I love all of you. But I'm not into this to help you like me better. I want him to love me. I want him to be pleased with me, with what I'm doing, with what he's given me to work with. And I get to love all of you all anyway. As a consequence of, because we're all in this together. There's me, and there's Brother Becker, and there's Brother Parker, and there's some other. We're all connected to the same vine. God's no respecter of persons. Each one of those people in that soil, in that story, heard the word. Is what they did with it, is what they did with their life that made the difference. Lots of people hear the word. Hey, there's lots of people that memorize the word. but they don't put it into practice in their life. They don't hide it in their heart. They hide it in here. I'm not condemning anybody that memorizes the Bible. I'm not saying that. But it's got to go in here. It's got to be in here. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." We need that word hidden in here to keep our right relationship. I want to keep that flow open between me and my Father. I don't want that conduit to get all stuck full of junk and there can't be a flow. I don't want it to get all clogged up. Romans 9:20-21. "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against or disputes or speaks against God?" Be careful. Paul had to be writing this because there had to be a reason that he was addressing this, because there apparently was something like this going on in the church. Because he wrote this letter to the church at Rome. "Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, and of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Isn't it God's business what he chooses to use you to do?" Every one of us in this room has a calling. That scripture that says, make your calling and election sure, that's not just for licensed preachers. That's for everybody that's a part of this kingdom. "Hath not the potter power?" That word power there is the word exousia. It means permission, authority, right, or liberty. Doesn't God have the right, the permission, the authority, and the liberty in my life to do whatever he needs to do in my life? He should. But does he? That's a question for you to answer. Not to me. Does God have the authority in your life to do whatever he needs to do into and through you to bring about and to perform his will? Because if he doesn't, there's a chance that there's some disconnect going on here. We are not our own. I don't know how to say that any more plain. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. A slave that was bought with a price doesn't have a say. Yes, I said the word slave. I'm a slave to him. I'm his servant. Whatever you want, God, whatever I got to go through, if Joseph had to go through what he had to go through, and we've talked about, you know, we want to have this ministry of this one or that one that God uses mightily, but when it comes down to, okay, how do I get to have that kind of ministry? And you say, well, you know, here's what he went through to get there. Then you're like, yeah, what about that guy over there? Yeah, I don't want to go through all that. Gloom, despair, and agony on me, right? That sounds funny, but it's true. As a branch, we are subject to whatever comes our way. Our Heavenly Father knows what we have need of. And that's not just good stuff. Sometimes when I was a kid, I needed a good whooping. And I'm thankful I got them then. I wasn't thankful then, I'm thankful now. But looking back, I'm thankful I got those whoopings because that made the difference in my life. And so sometimes God's going to allow things in our life and we're not going to like it. And we're going to sing that old Kris Kristofferson song, "Why Me, Lord?" We've all been there. Don't lie. You've all said it or thought it. Why me, Lord? Why do I have to go through this? Why right now? How about next week? How about next year? God's timing is perfect. If you're going through it, it's because you need to go through it right now. Why am I going through this and that one over there ain't going through it? Don't worry about that one over there. You worry about you. Like I said earlier, the vine's there with us through all of it. If we're connected to him, he knows what you're going through. He sent it into your life. Whatever you got to do to me, God, whatever you got to do in my life to keep me safe, please do it. That's a tough prayer to pray. When I was a new convert, somebody was preaching and they said, don't pray for patience. I said, why not? Because that scripture says, let patience have her perfect work. And it talks about trials and tests and temptations and all those things. And so he said, don't pray for patience because then you're just asking for trouble. But I don't want to not go through those things and have that cause me to fall short. Do you? He's there with us through the storms and trials. Acts 5:27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Yeah. In water baptism. Oh, yeah, they were. Then Peter and the apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be Prince and Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. They're about to get a beating, and they're still trying to save these guys. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart. Anybody remember ever being cut to the heart? That's called conviction. And took counsel to slay them. We're going to have some situations that are going to come up in our life where we are going to be put in this very place. And we're going to have to say, just like those three Hebrew boys said, we don't care what you do with us. Our Father is able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow. Then stood there up one in council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. I just have to believe that Paul was there. I don't know. That's just me. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, so he sat under Gamaliel, right? So it almost makes sense that maybe Paul was there. I don't know. Maybe he was. I'm not saying he was. I'm just saying. It's possible, right? And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom the number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. And this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel is the work of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. He was trying to help the old boys out there, but they just weren't listening. Because it says, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, now the apostles were standing right there. Like, what? Didn't you just hear him? And you're still going to give us a beating? they command that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. End of story, right? No. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Folks, we're going to find ourselves in this place someday. If the Lord don't, if we're as close to the end time as you believe we are, some of us are going to find ourselves right in this same spot. What are we going to do? And daily in the temple. And then after all that, oh, hallelujah, we just got to beat. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, let me see your bruises. Oh, man, look at mine. They were, you know, comparing bruises with each other, right? And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They were being faithful and fruitful branches. We don't care what we have to go through. This life that we're living on this world, on this globe that we call the earth, is temporal. All this stuff that we got is going to burn up. I know it just breaks my heart that 64 Impala is going to burn up. God, what a shame. What a shame. But I can't let myself get so connected to that thing that I lose out with God. Yeah, it's nice to have it, but if it had to come between me and that and me and God, I'm sorry, it's got to go. He's the one that blessed me with it. What did Job say? Naked I came, naked I shall return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I didn't have all this stuff when I was born, and if he wants to take it away from me, fine. But we don't want that. Lord, don't take my stuff just yet. Just let me have it a little longer, please. Matthew 5:10-12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Man, Brother DeMuth, you have to go and read that scripture. That's the Beatitude chapter, isn't it? Start of it. Blessed are those which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. They're going to lie on you something fierce, like they lied on Jesus. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. That's an easy scripture to quote right now. But when the rubber meets the road and you're in that place, remember this scripture. I pray the Lord to help me remember it. Because he said, don't worry about what you're going to say. I'll bring it to your remembrance when you need it. That's why we got to hide it in here. We got to hide it. I got to know this for myself right now. I don't need to know it. I don't need to wait till then to study to show myself approved, right? I need to do it right now. Right now. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You're not getting out of this. He sent prophets and they got persecuted by their own people and killed by their own people just for preaching the word of God. No, we don't know what's going to happen, do we? But I'm going to be ready. For in such an hour as you think not, right? Son of Man cometh. Last scripture and then we're done, okay? Is that okay? Okay. 2 Corinthians 11:23-30. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of by the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, perils among false brethren. False brethren in the church. Lord have mercy. in weariness and painfulness and watchings often and hunger and thirsting and fastings often and cold and nakedness. Beside those things, that's a lot, isn't it? Can you imagine going through all of that? But he did. All because he listened to a voice that said, "Why kickest thou against the pricks? Why are you pushing back against my will, Paul?" That's how I read that. "You going to push back against my will, Paul? You going to let me use you?" What happened? Paul gave in. He gave up everything. "Beside all these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities." Paul said, "I am not going to become disconnected from that vine. If it means I got to die, I'm staying connected to the vine. I'm going to be a fruitful branch as long as I can possibly have breath in my body. And the only way I'm not going to be fruitful is when the Lord takes me out of this place." Let's all stand. I'm done. God's been talking to people in this room. He just sent me to be the messenger. You got to do with this whatever you got to do with this. But God's been talking to people in this room. And there's some stuff coming, I believe. And we got to be ready. We got to prepare ourselves spiritually, mentally, and otherwise. We got to prepare ourselves. We got to hide this word. We got to know that we know that we know. That if I get pushed into a corner, I'm going to stand for God if nothing else. Amen. So as we pray in closing tonight, if we could just pray for ourselves, pray for one another, pray for the people and the souls of this city. At least God give them a chance to hear the gospel so that it can be said they at least heard it and made their decision. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your greatness and goodness and mercy. We thank you for your power and glory. We thank you for saving us and delivering us. We thank you, Father, for pulling us out of the fire. We thank you for pulling us out of the pit. Lord Jesus, we thank you for reaching down, Lord God, when nobody else would reach down. Lord, we thank you for loving us when we were unlovable. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us this word tonight, Lord Jesus, that we would take, Lord, what we've heard. Lord, that the ears that have heard this would have ears to hear and what the Spirit is saying, Father. Not what this man is saying, but what your Spirit is saying, Lord, that you would have your way, Lord Jesus, among every soul, every heart, every individual within the sound of my voice online and here in this building, Lord, and that you would reach out into this city, Lord, and let your angels begin to bring a spirit of repentance, a spirit, O God, of revelation, a spirit of hunger and thirst and desire, Lord, that the people of this city would come to know who you are, Lord, that we would shed that love that you have given us abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Lord, as you send us out to go whatever it is you would have us to go, to do whatever it is you'd have us to do, that we would do it with zeal and desire and with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we might be pleasing to you as a vessel, Lord Jesus, as a branch that is bearing fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.